Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2-Tango. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call KQBAR.
Connected, W2-TTT.
Okay, that's a good time. I see WA2QBC and I see DC, Dave, checking in. We'll get to them in a moment. I'm in Hershey, Pennsylvania this evening with the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net. I will be able to log. I should be able to log anyway. Got my tablet ready to go in a minute or so. I'm going to finish this booting out. But in the meantime, I'll tell you about the net. Okay, this net is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net. It's open to all amateur radio operators, licensed to operate the 2-meter band. You do not need to be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association to operate this net. You do have to, however, have an interest in amateur radio, computers, electronics, telecommunications, natural sciences that underlie our hobby, various technologies that support it, if you will. You're interested in operating and doing stuff, building whatever, and also in serving others, sharing our God-given gifts, which include amateur radio, with others in any way to where we can. We can also talk about things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we would like to do again, and things we absolutely never want to do again. All that's fair game. We check in by giving our call sign, our name, then we indicate whether we have a question, comment, a concern, swap, or wanted item, or none of the above. You might ask, why do we want to check in with none of the above? And the answer is very simple, we have a need to know who our audience is, so that's very important to get that squared away. If we don't have people checking in, then it's kind of hard to tell how to address the audience. So please do check the plan to check in. We will do it in a logical order, however, and we'll get to that in a minute. The other thing is that this net is supported by a Yahoo email group called ComTech Group, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, ComTech Group, all pushed into one word, at yahoogroups.com. Feel free to go check that out and join in the group. Feel free to sign up for it during the net, because we do take notes, and I'll be taking those notes tonight. And if people reference websites or products or ideas or whatever, we'll be doing that. You also have a roster of all the call signs. Keep that in mind, too. All right, with no further ado, let's check in with stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha. Please call K2BAR with your call sign when you indicate whether you have a question, comment, a sales swap, or wanted item, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Okay, let's go to the whiskey. Anybody with a whiskey call?
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, with a question this evening.
A2BAR. W2CH, good evening. Ray in White Plains, none of the above.
A2BAR.
WI2WC for the comment.
A2BAR. W2NPR, Hector, no questions or comments at this time.
Okay, so far, the net has WA2UMP, W2CH, WI2W, W2NPR, W2JEK. I also have, on Echo Link, but we'll get back to them in a minute. Are there any other whiskeys? Please call KQBAR. Okay, very good. Let's go to the Kilo 2s. Please spell out your call. Thank you.
KQBAR. K2ZO. No comments or questions? Actually, I do have a comment. Question. What the hell are you doing to your audio? That's it.
Ooh, I don't know. A comment or a question, but my audio is via my phone, and I can echo my plan. Is it too much, too little? What is it, Jim? Over.
Ooh, hard to understand.
Hey, stand by. Let me see if I can make an adjustment.
It sounds like you've got background noise in some television set or radio or a bunch of people talking.
Okay, I did two things. One is I lowered my mic gain, and number two, my wife lowered her iPad audio. So I think is that a whole lot better, Jim?
That's very much better. Yes, I can understand that.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Are there any other Kilo 2s?
KQBAR, this is K2AMI, Tony, with an inquiry.
Okay, Tony, I've got your question noted. Any other Kilo 2s, over? Okay, let's go to K2ZC real quick. Also, after that, we'll go to Bruce, WA2QBC. So, real quick, Dave, what's your pleasure? And then, Bruce, what's your pleasure? Over.
Thank you, William. Thank
you. All right, what do you call it? Bruce, what about you?
Hey, WA2QBC, no traffic.
Okay, Bruce, very fine. Thank you very much. Okay, I want to make sure I get my two Echo Link guys squared away before I move on to sleep beyond the check-in. All right, let's go to all other kilos. We're trying to rock and roll, spread them out, and log them all in. All right, I guess I have no other kilos. How about November?
Connected, N2OEL.
I don't see any November. I do see N2OEL just jumped on the Echo Link. Noel, what's your pleasure? K2BAR.
I have one question.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Noel. I have your one question noted. Any other stations, any call signs, please check in. Your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, the sales swap or one item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call KQBAR.
KB2TRW, Kai, none of the above. I want to get in, but the station IDs kept me from getting in. That's next.
K2BAR. This is N2BZ Charlie, and I'm just listening.
N2OEL. Disconnected.
KB2TRW, Kai, welcome aboard. And N2BZX Charlie, welcome aboard as well. Yeah, Kai, I don't hear the IDs, which is troublesome at best. So I apologize for that little discontinuity, but the way Echo Link was implemented on this repeater decided not to send the call sign down the wire, which can be difficult at times. Not sure exactly what's happening on the air locally. Alrighty, with no further ado, it's the first time in forever we have not had a leading comment from Bond, WTJUK. So let me just take a minute and thank Bond for all his efforts to do a bang-up job in running the first-class testing, giving out lots and lots of examinations during this past school year. So Don, take a bow, if you would, over.
WA2QBC, timeout.
All right, KQBR on the net, good evening, everybody. Okay, thank you very much, Court Technician. And that session will go back to net. W2GN, go ahead, thank you.
Yeah, very good, Don. Truly mean in a heartfelt way. Anyway, yeah, appreciate it. Alrighty, E2Zilla, you had a comment about my audio. Was there anything you want to say about this weekend, the fuel day operation? Just let us know. Just get out to the VAR.
Connected WA2QBC.
Okay, KQBAR, KQZO. Yeah, no, your audio sounded awful fuzzy there, but it's a little bit better here, it got better. Barra is going to be operating field day from the Crestkill Recreational Area, which is the ball field, so adjacent to the swim club. The actual address is 103rd Street in Crestkill, 07626. If you go to the Barra website, you'll see the instructions on how to get there. And also, if you go to the ARRL website and put in the information, you'll see the information there on how to get there. It's going to be operating Class 5A, 5 Alpha. And we have some pretty good high antennas, mostly all wire antennas, and we should be able to really rock and roll. I'm looking forward to it. The weather's going to be nice, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun. And that is. Well, yeah, one of the comments is that one of the things that I want to try, and I know some people have said maybe it's not a good idea, but I want to try an extended double zep antenna on 20, so I have built one. I do have another backup antenna, which is will give me more of a co-release pattern, but the extended double zep puts out a 3 dB signal in two directions. We have used them before on 40 meters, and they've worked fine. Admittedly, there's some areas that you may not get to, but the advantage of it is that this particular one, if you remodel it, just drop the ends down a bit, you'll get a cloverleaf pattern. You just go, if it's 43 feet on either side, that's an open wire line. And if you drop the ends down, droop them down, at about 20 feet on either side, you end up getting an omnidirectional type antenna. So we could easily reconfigure it, and that's one of the things that we're probably going to try on field day, so we'll see. Anyway, just wanted to drop those comments. Back to that, KQZO.
Connected WA2QBC, no traffic.
Okay, Jim, very good. So you're saying that by taking the extended double zap and bringing the ends down to more of an inverted V kind of configuration, the pattern becomes more circular, is that what I'm hearing? Yeah, actually we won't be doing it in an inverted V, but yes, since it's going to be a big horizontal set up there with the light pole. But if you take in, as I say, each side is 43 feet, 5/8 wavelength, and if you take that 8th wavelength or so off of it by dropping it down, it ends up giving you kind of a blob type of a pattern, which of course will allow you to get more stuff that you missed with the nulls on the other antenna. So we can operate it one mode for half the time and then change it to whatever. I think it'll be interesting to see. It'll be a very interesting experiment. Back to that.
Okay, so you're going to have one quarter wavelength element, and one half wave element, and one 5/8 wave element, if I get that right. Okay, I gotcha. That's interesting. That's very, very interesting. we will see how that that all goes. Dear, what did I do? I left the draft email somewhere. I love when I do this. I saw an email from you, and I wasn't sure if you wanted me to read it on the net, so I managed to mess myself up a little bit, but it's no big deal. I'll square that away. I'll figure out where I put it. Anyway, alrighty. Anybody else have any comments regarding the Barrafield A or this antenna design that Jim's referencing to this call? K2BAR.
That email was called a political email. It was not about amateur radio.
Last time I got the I got the idea. The bad news is your audio is underneath it, Jim. So what was that like? Sorry, Mr. Viewer.
Oh, you said something about you saw an email from me. I said that was more of a political email for some of my thoughts. It was not about amateur radio.
Yes, I see that. It's always nice to have Alfred E. Newman, who lived at 1500 Pennsylvania Avenue, appropriately depicted. I'll leave it at that. Anyway, enough of that. If anybody else has any comments for this for Jim, please let me know now. Yeah.
Please check in.
Special requirements regarding the meeting to help get the gear to set up or things like that. Would that be something that would be helpful, and what time? Would, 7-9 be the appropriate place to congregate if you don't know where to go and do what? Okay, I'm not getting through, I guess. I don't know what's going on. But my question was, Jim, is 7-9 the appropriate place to meet on Saturday morning if you don't know exactly where to go and do what? And at what time, if people want to be helpful in loading up and unloading the truck at the field day site, over? WI2W. Yeah, go ahead, Steve. You'll do just fine. And then you can do your question right after.
Okay, this is WI2W. Jim must have got a phone call or a battery on the day. We're getting through just fine. We'll come back. Barra Garage at 9 o'clock in the morning. If you don't know where that is, email somebody from the club. You can find our email addresses on our .org website. We don't give the address of the garage out on the air, but we're going to meet at 9 o'clock at the garage. We'll be up at the site around 10. That's at the Crestville Community Center. And as I said before, it's 103rd Street, Crestville. Beautiful facility, really nice. I think the best facility, gigantic, one big field the size of two football fields, filled with hot and cold running water and air conditioned baths, lots of parking. It's a great, great field-based site. Welcome. Even if you're not a Barra member, come over and have. My comment was on what I was doing today to get ready. We're going to try, as we always do, to make a couple satellite contacts. Looking at the schedule, it looks like Saturday afternoon is going to be a good time. There's a number of passes. Interestingly, I saw something the RRL published, which said that the astronauts on board the space station, if they have the free time and can finagle it into their schedule, are going to be active for some simplex, or not simplex, but in-band communication separate up and down frequencies on 2 meters. So, we're going to give it a try and see if maybe we can talk to an astronaut. The competition's very stiff. We're not running real high gain antennas and less power, so it's not too hot, but it would be really cool just to hear them. So that'll be Saturday afternoon. I think the first pass will start around 3 o'clock. So to that end, I was getting my satellite station ready. They use a handheld arrow beam. because my TS-2000 is not particularly sensitive on 2 meters and 440, it's an early one, I'm going to put 3 amps in line, which is what I usually run with that. Rather than use a power injector to send 12 volts up the coax to power the SNC preamp, there is an SO239 connector on the preamp between the antenna and transmitter port. That SO239 connector will take 12 volts to power the preamp. So it's kind of weird wiring up the PL259, 12 volts positive on the center. Anyway, I made that cable up today. I fused it right next to the power pole connector, and I'll run the preamp power off the battery. Those amplifiers they have a carrier operated relay inside, so they'll switch out of the circuit when they do so. TS-2000, laptop running SAT-PC32 connected to the radio to control Doppler shift. Good to go. So hopefully we'll make a few satellites. We have the last few years, so I have high hopes for this year as well. And that's it. Back to next. KQBAR-WITW.
That's great, Steve. That's absolutely wonderful. Does anybody have any questions regarding this? And I hear Jim's back as well, but anybody have any questions about the upcoming field day, please, or comments, so please call now. All righty, I guess not. All right, well, all good. I'm really excited the field day this year. I might actually be back in time. Operate a little bit. Let's see. Let's see. Okay. Jim, did you want to add anything else before we move on? KCZO, KCBA.
No, I just got called away for a few seconds there, so that's why I wasn't able to answer you, so no problem.
Yeah, not a worry. Not a worry at all. Okay, very good. Alrighty, let me go to Jim, WA2UMP. Jim, what's your question tonight, TQBAR?
Yeah, hi, Gordon. Well, anyway, one of the fun things about ham radio is thinking about and eventually acquiring that a new rig. And I've been thinking about getting an all-mode, all-band radio where I could work on 2-meter sideband, 6-meter sideband on FM, on 10 meters through 440, and occasionally go down to 40 meters and maybe work some CW so I don't get rusty. Seems my choices are a bit limited, and let me outline what they are. Let me let it drop for a second. My first choice was the ICOM 7100, and but since I've recently got involved in DMR, I like that better than D-Star, so my interest in D-Star has declined a bit, so I don't think I'll be buying the ICOM 7100. The used ICOM 7000 seems about the best contender. It has a DSP, it has a digital recorder, so I'm a bit lazy, I don't have to continually call CQ, and it gives me all the other functions I want. Also, there's also a Yaesu, I think, what is it, the ST-897D, interesting radio, but doesn't have that digital recorder. There's also the Kenwood, the TS-2000, very nice rig, great audio, but a bit conservative and a bit too mature for my preference. I prefer something state-of-the-art. So my question is, am I overlooking something, and what does the group think is the best choice? Am I right with the used ICOM 7000? Back to Ned.
U2CA.
Go ahead.
Jim, this is Ray. I found using the 7000 that they had trouble with one at Field Day at a club, and another one at Weka burned out. And also in the bright sun, the LED type display is hard to read. But those are just my comments on having used them, not having one. I've had a Kenwood TS-2000, although it's a big older rig. It's a good radio, a good rig. Just a couple of comments about the 7000. some experience on that one.
WITW.
I've heard that about the 7000, that some of the rigs have overheating problems, so that's something to consider. However, there's a significant group of people that will tell you that if you run it at the proper levels, and I don't know whether there were different iterations of the firmware, but a lot of people don't have trouble with it. But it is something to put on the minus side for that choice. The TS-2000 is kind of big and older. It just doesn't strike me as being like state-of-the-art. And again, no offense to anyone that owns it. It's a very solid rig. That just doesn't look like it's state-of-the-art enough for me. That's my preference.
Okay. Just as I make the comment, as I said, with the 7000, the LED, when they use that field day in bright light, gets washed out. I think there was another station or back to net W2CH.
WI2W.
Go ahead.
I've had a TS-2000 for a number of years, I don't know, primarily for satellite work, and I like it very much for that. I also have the 1.2 gig module in it, which is pretty, doesn't get much use these days. From an HF standpoint, it's an okay HF radio. It's not a phenomenal radio, but it's a shack in the box. Sold a ton of them, and it seems to be very reliable. I also like the fact that there's lots of buttons on the front panel, and it's spread out. In terms of usability, I think it's far more usable than a 7000. Very tiny radio at the time. I happen to like the ergonomics on particularly, so I just think the 2000 is an easier radio to use without having to dig deep into the menu. That's just personal preference. And you can buy them used now. In fact, I saw one on eHam tonight, KF. And I think had one for $775 used in the bad price for that radio. That'd be my preference over a 7000 in a heartbeat. WITW.
Okay, WITW, WHUMP. Okay, that's something to consider, and I'll put that on the plus side. So far, it's two votes for the TS-2000 and none for the Icon 7000. Any other comments?
Yeah, one more quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if you're able to get over to the Barra Field Day, I will have one there, which we're going to use for satellite. But if you wanted to hook it up on HF, I'm going to be the 15-meter band captain, and I can swap out my TS-480 and put the TS-2000 in there if you wanted to sit a play, and I can walk you through the operation.
I do appreciate that. I'll be heading to Cape Cod, fortunately or unfortunately, this weekend, but may take you up on that offer sometime in the near future.
Sure, no problem. If you want, I love to operate from the park. I have portable power, so you can head out to a local park, throw some wire up, and have a play anytime. And you can get me here on the net. I'm usually here on Thursday night. ATBAR, WITW.
W2CH with additional comment.
Boy, it's tough to get in here. Okay, good. Ray, I got you. Just my observation about the 7000. I've had one of those. I think the 7000 is a superior receiver, but to the point about usability, you know, because it doesn't have all the buttons, it's got more menus and things like that. But compared to most of the mobile shack-in-the-box radios, it's got a phenomenal number of buttons that are unique and directly accessible for very key functions, so it's not like using a 706 or, you know, even a 857 or an 897 where you're really heavily dependent on the menu. There are some benefits. All in all, if I had to do it all again, I might look at a 7000 for the mobile and possibly a, this is a real surprise for everybody, but a 746 Pro in the shack. It doesn't have 440, but I could learn to live without that. Another approach, which is what I'm pursuing currently, is to use transverters with a Flex 1500 Not going to have high power, but you are going to have an abundance of band. So that's something else to think about as well. All right, Ray, W2CH, take it to the air.
K2BAR, W2CH. Okay, Jim, also the FT897, I had that from when it first came out. Now they're dropping that. I believe I read something of that model. I had it with the batteries, and they did not last long with the 20 watts, those battery packs, if you want the portable operation. Also, while the multicolor type display, it was not the sharpest. Sometimes in light. And I've had an FT857, which wasn't bad for mobile, but it's a small display and sometimes not the easiest to read in light. But it wasn't a bad rate. Just a couple of comments on those. But there's a lot of menus to go through with that. So back to net. K2BAR or for your comment there, Jim. W2CH.
W2CH, WA2UMP. Okay, on the comments on the Yaesu, I do see the FT897D for sale. It looks kind of interesting. One of the things they all lack is that digital recorder, and maybe I'm overemphasizing that. It just seems, I've never had that feature before. It seems like, you know, by the time I get home, I'm tired. If I could just press a button and it calls CQ for me. On 6 meters or whatever, that saves a bit of energy. That time saver seems to be attractive. Now maybe once I've tried it, that won't be as good. It won't be as meet its expectations, but we'll see. In any case, I do appreciate the comment. It does muddy the waters. It's pretty unclear.
W2SBR.
Go ahead, Hector.
My comments on both of those radios, because I have them. The ICOM has a superior receiver for a little gizmo. The receiver in that radio is just as good as the receiver in my 756 Pro 3. Question that none of us can answer, and not anyone on any net can answer. The only person who can answer this question is you. What are your intentions with the radio? In other words, is this going to be a base radio? Are you going to use it both base and mobile? Do you have any intentions of making a go kit with it? That is going to determine which radio you get, more so than what those who have and heard of the radios that you have questioned this evening. So that's the number one question before anything else. Then once you narrow down that radio, then it becomes, well, okay, who has a 7000 and what are your likes and dislikes? Or who has a TS2000, what are your likes and dislikes, etc. So from where I'm sitting, that's what it sounds like you have to figure out first. 7000 is easy to transport from car to car, location to location. There is an optional handle you can screw to the side of the radio. It's half the weight of a TS2000, naturally half the size. So, like I said, it's your intentions with the radio are going to dictate which radio you buy. Once you make that decision, then you can search around for who has one and what are the likes and dislikes. So, good luck in your search and your decision. My 2 cents would be to go with a 7000 or a 7100. Just don't get the D-Star option if you're not going to use it. Back to that, K2BAR, W2NPR.
K2BAR, WA2UMP. Okay, sir, thank you for the input, and that does personalize the decision a bit. Basically, I would be using this as a base station mostly in my apartment. And to fit that apartment paradigm, everything needs to be small, and it's a shack in a box. So that's what I like about it. I like the fact that you can add an extra display. I like the fact that it's got a color display. I like the fact that you can add a monitor. I like the fact that it has digital recording. I don't like the report. There's two things I don't like about it. It's not discontinued. And the fact that there are reports of overheating. So those are two negatives and something to consider. But I could live with, I could probably live with the fact that it's older. Keep it until something better comes along. But the overheating does give me pause. Also, the 7100, you can't get it without the D-Star option, otherwise that would probably be what I want. Back to this.
One more comment.
Just know you can overheat anything. Don't suffocate it, and it'll operate fine. Mine has been in the mobile, and it's been in some pretty extreme temperatures, and it runs like a top. Let's see. Okay, I'm done with my comments. I'm going to sit back here and listen. Go ahead, Steve, W2NPR.
All right, just my final comment is I do have the voice module in my 2000, so you can program voice memories and CW memories. So that capability does exist there. WI2W, and poor Gordon, you probably fell asleep. You've been leaving him out because of his echo link delay, I guess. Anyway, Gordon, back to you. KQBAR, WI2W.
I think it's fine the way you guys have been doing that. I mean, I just try to run the thing, but you guys provide the content, so it's all good. I didn't fall asleep. I've been listening very nicely, and it's working out real well. As I said, I'm in a hotel in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and been messing around with local repeaters and stuff like that. I just bring my Flex and stuff, but didn't set it up. We stay tomorrow night. I'll set up the radio here for in the afternoon, but I'm home tomorrow evening, and obviously not. I have a Flex. I have my Flex portable kit now. A netbook with a Flex 1500 and a 4020 band dipole. It's got some nice separator, but 6 inches separation between the elements. And it's pretty resonant, so I don't use a tuner or anything else with it. Just up and go, it just works fine. The only thing I haven't done is gotten an external gear. Although I wanted to ask you a quick question. Have you had any experience with the 2.7.2 software, and have they largely fixed the CW side tone delay? Can I actually get away without an external gear if I want to have some sort of side tone on CW? Or?
I assume that was directed to me, and I can't say what it would be like on a netbook. On a high-powered computer, it works just fine.
Okay, so I'll try that. I'll grab a key and try it. I actually have a set of paddles that I really like to use, too. All right, I'll try that. I understand the issue about the netbook, but you know what? That's half the battle. I wanted to have something really, really small and tight to use. And I pretty much got what I'm looking for. Excuse me for QRP radio. The only thing else I have to do is add is get the integration with the PSK31 and some of the other digital modes going. But that's for another time. Let me shift gears here, and before we lose him for the evening, I want to get to two guys who tend to drift off if that goes too long. First is M2OEL. Miraculously still in New Jersey. Over to you, Noel. How are you this evening, and what's your question?
K2ZC disconnected.
Okay, I'll work on getting Noel's attention. By the way, I've been using a little tool called Zello, Z-E-L-L-O. It's kind of a ring down function. to work people who should try that. I have a sort of a conference bridge on it called T139. Oh, he's not waiting. Okay. I guess we'll go to him. He's waiting for me now. All right. We'll get to him right now then. And Julio, KQBAR.
Okay, this is KQBAR. This is Andrew Royale. First, a quick comment. I've been using Zello for a while. I've been using it with Mark Cawley, moved to Jersey to Bergenfield. Anyway, and also Walter. It's really neat because it runs on the data portion of the cell network. It's a free app. You can put it on the Android phone or an iPhone or an iPad. The neat thing about it is it's a walkie-talkie as far as the function is concerned. And you can have several people on a conversation at the same time, unlike a cell phone. So it actually could be used, for instance, at a function such as the River Edge Run. It would actually work quite nicely at a function of that nature, because it works just like a radio. In fact, Gordon and I are so bad, when we finish a conversation, I say W2TTT, this is Endure, you know. It's to my cell phone. The other thing is, I have a question about RF. I have an antenna that's mounted on a bicycle rack in the back of the car. And I'm worried about a couple things. One is, if I'm feeding 100 watts sideband into the antenna that's mounted on the top of the bicycle rack, which means the bicycle rack is the other half of the antenna, and it comes down through the ground strips that are grounded. I got a couple inch and a quarter copper braid that goes down underneath the car to a nice bolt. Two of them, actually. Two bolts, different bolts. The question is, will the RF affect the LED lamps that are in the lights that are on this rack? Because when I'm carrying a bike, it covers up the license and it covers up the vehicle lights. Second thing is, I'm worried, I have an 857D, which does not like RF. It's very susceptible to RF coming down the coax. And the other thing is, the car computer I'm worried about. So I'm wondering what's the best way to keep RF from coming down the trailer light cable that I'm using that's feeding from the car lights to the lights on this bicycle rack. Back to that, enjoy up.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking you'll probably be all right with that. I think you're blocking the appropriate credentials on the vehicle is more of an issue than RF getting into it all. But if the bike rack itself is bonded to the frame of the vehicle, it's really the whole vehicle becomes your counterpoise to your antenna. So I think you'll be all right. Anybody else have any thoughts about this and want to comment for Noel? Please carry on. Late check-in. Okay, the late check-in, go ahead.
November 2, Julia Delta Hotel, Audrey, in the New York City. And I do have a comment on Noel.
I've got a comment also, Gordon.
Any further things you want to talk about related to this? Did I give you the answer you're looking for or we're concerned about?
I'm just worried because I don't want to burn anything out the first time I use it.
No, in all honesty, I don't think you will. I don't think there's much of a danger of that. Playing out LEDs and stuff like that, I just don't see that as a major problem. Zello is a very neat little tool. I set up a channel, it's not advertised, it's called T139, and I'm also there as either W2TTT or NJ2 Boy Scouts, NJ2BS. So those two are definitely available. One is my tablet, one's my phone. That works just fine. So feel free to. But we can always go to a channel called T139. The password for it, I can give you when you, if you just talk to me over the air. Other than over the air, either on email or talking directly on Zello, I'll tell you what the password is. It is password protected, but it's not exactly rocket science. You know, we don't make it a ridiculous combination, but something that you can easily remember and bang in. But we have that chat channel. So, yes, you can have a high-quality voice conversation that is, in fact, full duplex. Well, it's not quite full duplex, but it's very high quality, very, very high quality audio. And it does support one-to-many, conference users. Anyway, Noel, back to you.
Gordon, I've got a comment for you to speak.
Hey, sure, go right ahead, Bruce.
I don't know if it was fully answered, so I think it was Noel who asked the question about the mobile. A couple of things. First of all, you're mounting the antenna on the rear of the vehicle. That means your radiation pattern is going to tend to be directional based on how the grounding is. The vehicle itself becomes the counterpoise, and you're tying into the bicycle rack, which you've then got grounded somehow onto the vehicle chassis. So depending on how that is, you could have an interesting counterpoise and an interesting rate. In terms of RF coming back on the coax, it's easy enough to wrap. You can find it on the web, make a choke, an RF choke, by wrapping a bunch of turns of coax around a bent toroid, and you let it drop. And that'll choke the RF from getting back into the radio. Your best location for an antenna is center top of the vehicle with a good solid mount, assuming it's an interbody type design. But you can do it on the rear, probably more towards the center. And then if you've got the rack grounded on both sides, it might be the decent counterpoise. You'll have to check it. You may still get some directional with mod radiation patterns. Not sure about trying the LEDs or anything else. The one thing you do want to do probably is run a dedicated power cable to the rig itself, directly from the battery, so that you don't have the chance of running back through something in the vehicle and maybe getting a bad connection between the different parts of the vehicle body and your ground. So dedicated hot leg, dedicated ground leg for the power, choke on the coax, and ground the bicycle rack into the chassis of the vehicle.
Yeah, one other point about the battery, we fuse both of them at the battery. I say that again, fuse both the plus and the minus at the battery. Don't want your electronic equipment to become the return path for your starter motor inadvertently one day. Some other evil thing. Alrighty, those are good comments, Bruce. Anybody else on this topic? Your ball, Noel. Go ahead.
So what I have coming from the battery is a pair of 10-gauge wires. Each pair has a 25-amp fuse in the hot lead. So supposedly, I could draw up to 22 amps. And a 40-amp fuse in the minus side. So I've already done that. The reason I didn't put the antenna in the center of the roof, I'm running a Hustler, and for two reasons. One is, it's kind of big to put the center of the roof, and the other reason is kind of hard for me to get to adjust it and lay it down. When it's in the back, I just walk over to it and whip out my set screw, a hex key, and I got it set up so I can lay it right down horizontally on top of the roof, because that happens to be the height of the bicycle carrier. So that makes it very easy if I'm going through, for instance, Hackensack Hospital. I can lay the thing right down and not hit anything. What I did was, I had a car, I think it's a 41. Anyways, I took and they, you can buy 25 feet of four-wire trailer connecting leads. It's white as the ground, and you have the left turn, right turn, and running lights. I took that and run it about three-quarters of the way around that car and taped it down. And hopefully that's going to be my choke to keep RF from coming back into the engine. Also, I'll throw a couple of ferrites around it because I have a couple that are the right size. That's it for now. Back to that, Antoya.
Okay, it sounds like a workable plane, though. Really, really good. Alrighty. Any last comments from everybody on this topic, or Noel, do you want to pick it up? Is there anything else you want to add? If not, we'll move on to the next person. Antoriel, QHPA.
Antoriel, QHPA.
Once you get all the connections and everything all cleaned up, and all the ground straps cleaned up, and you've got good metal-to-metal contact, and burst down properly, what you might want to do is goop it up with a never-seen type compound, which will also keep the water out. So something like Permatex anti-seize silver compound, relatively inexpensive in most water body places, in any auto shop.
Here's a Pentrex silicone conductor free. If you send it across?
Pentrex you can use, it's a little more expensive. What you're really counting on is the metal-to-metal contact and having it properly sourced. Any kind of grease you're putting in there is mostly to keep the water out, which then keeps the corrosion down to a minimum. And the metal-to-metal, if you get the similar metal corrosion issues down also. There's a whole bunch of different compounds you can use. You know, Permatex silver, there's Permatex copper. You've got Penetrex out there. No Alice ID, which is a cosmoline type compound. A whole bunch of others, and they all work for the waterproofing anti corrosion part.
Okay, I think that's good advice. Either way, put some sort of group on it. And however much you want to spend. All right, very good. Well, that's good conversation, Bruce, and Noel, thank you very much. Ready, K2AMI, you had a question, K2BAR.
This is Tony, K2AMI, and Gordon, I have a question that about your future ham fest for the Boy Scouts over at the Bergenfield Ham Fest, as it's called, over at St. John's Church. May I point out we've been updating our information for Barra on the calendar and also applying for a AMFES permit from the ARRL. And when I tried to search the Bergenfield AMFES, it only reflects back to a previous AMFES. So you might want to update any information on the web as well as tell me so we can update our date. When is the Bergenfield AMFES?
Okay, Tony, very good. Well, we're not going to have one this August, unfortunately, but we are having one in December. That's kind of where we are right now. That's probably what the confusion's about. I apologize for that, however. In any case, does that answer your question, Tony?
Thank you very much. That's fine. I will indicate so on our calendar. Can I ask one other question? That is, I want to make one other statement, and that I've discovered the hard way that most of the modern transceivers that use those wonderful little miniature components on their boards, in the receive section of most modern day radios, the antenna is directly connected to these little tiny components that have no energy resistance at all. They'll dissipate with very small power. I've destroyed two radios, two front ends, by inserting more power than is customary customer for the purpose of ham radio. So in any strong signal area, you should completely disconnect your antenna at all times. Not leave your antenna connected, because it's connected directly to your radio. Even though you turn the radio off in the front, all the front ends of your radios are connected directly to your antenna at all times if you leave your antenna connected. This is my comment.
Yeah, you've had a really run of interesting luck, and I hope that none of us have that same problem. May I say, I leave all my radios connected, except in lightning season. And sometimes then I get a little careless, but I've been lucky up to now. Your advice is well taken, Tony. I think it's a good, solid advice.
So, K2AMI, clear, good listening.
Very, very good. Thank you, Tony. N2JDH, you had a comment, Andre. Welcome aboard to TBAR. Okay, I'll try it one more time. N2JDH, K2BAR. Alrighty, well, alright. I don't know what else we can do here. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Are there any other stations with additional topics, questions, comments, issues? Just before you're pondering that thought, I just want to remind you that ComTech Group, ComTechGroup, all one word, at yahoogroup.com will get you a response that probably says you're not subscribed to tell you how. Or you can shoot an email to me, www.tangotangotango@AWRL.net, and I will take care of making sure you get added to the list. So, anyway, anybody want to join me at this time, please call, or add a comment or question to the net, as a bill is brought by them, please call KTBAF. Well, let me leave you with one other thing. The Carol on Fireworks, I've been told now, are 7-1, not 7-4. These are Tuesday night, so if you're accustomed to volunteering for the Carol on Fireworks to help out with access control and such, please get in touch with W-O-2-W or W-2-I-D or yours truly at Pinch. Carl and Paul and I are probably going to do some sort of mesh thing, but we're just not sure what yet. But we'll get down with that as well. Anybody else? One last round. Kick the air. And everyone, I thank everyone for checking into the Ergonomics Radio Association technical net tonight. I do wish everybody a happy and safe and fellowship-filled and food-filled field day, wherever you happen to celebrate it. I feel like I'm celebrating, High Holy Days and Christmas all in the one here. But anyway, it's the ham radio's pagan holiday, as it were. But we should have a blast tonight and this weekend, especially Saturday night. And we should also thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater, in Alpine, New Jersey. VCFMA, we encourage you to support the club that helps support Barra's activities with their repeaters and other supporting technologies. Anyway, 7-3, and have a great night. Look forward to seeing some of you next week. I believe the Barra movie is going to be Sunday the 6th. If not, it will be postponed the week. But you can look at Barra, BARA.org, www.BARA.org, to find out what the next meeting of our other great activities. 7-3 all, and have a great night. Thank you from Hershey, Pennsylvania. This is W2TGG Gordon, here at control. Thanks, 7-3, and good night.
Connected K2ZC WA2QBC disconnected K
K2ZC disconnected.